We are going to talk about a topic that we're all familiar with, which is how white is your snow, okay? And since we're all very familiar with snow in the last few weeks, probably a little too familiar, praise God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure it's the case, but certainly with me and my family, that there really is something really glorious about a new snowfall. I mean, when the snow hits and everything is covered in this gleaming, pristine white, I mean, it's like the creation has started over or something. I mean, it really is an incredible thing. Now, everything's radiant, everything's covered, there's no blemishes anywhere. I mean, it really is, it's an incredible sight. I think we'd all witness that and we all would say that. And when you think about it, you know, what... why is that the case? I mean, why is it so impressive, you know, when snow hits like this and covers everything? And I think part of it is due to the nature of the color of white in and of itself. Because the color white, first of all, it contains all the colors in it, for those of you that know some basic science, right? But it also, because it has all the colors in it, it reflects back anything that is shined upon it, okay? Because it can't absorb any color. So it reflects back all the other colors when they're shined upon it. And that's in part what makes it so stark, is that there's such a contrast. It's the perfect color because it contains everything, and everything else contrasts with white when you really think about it. I mean, if everything's white and there's anything else, it immediately contrasts with that. It's very clear. Anything that is not white is immediately seen when you look out upon the horizon. Now, the glory of God in the Scriptures is associated with the color of white. And let's look at a couple of passages here where that's the case. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And we want to look in verse 9. Daniel 7, verse 9. It says this, "And as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. And a river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." Now notice, we can see here, it's clearly in the Scriptures, that the Ancient of Days, that's the Lord himself, his hair and his clothes are fully white. And they have to be because they contain all of color. White contains all color. And so, and here's God who embodies all, but he also reflects all. Everything that comes up against him is a reflection of who the Lord is. And everything is compared and contrasted with this particular color. The light that comes from God includes all colors, okay? But white is what comes forth because it represents all color itself. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. We now see this with Yeshua himself. Mark chapter 9, verse 2. Mark 9, verse 2. Mark 9, 2 says this, "After 6 days, Yeshua took Peter, James, and John with him and led him up on a high mountain. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Yeshua." I mean, what happened to Yeshua's clothes? Because they weren't all white before the transfiguration. But what happened is the glory of God shined through them suddenly, and everything got transformed because of the power and the glory of God. Everything was changed in that very moment, and he was like a dazzling white. And it reflects, the white always reflects other light, reflects the glory of God, the light of God. Turn with me to Revelation 1. Revelation 1, we see it again here. Revelation 1, verse 12. Revelation 1, verse 12, it says this, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. There it is again. It's the purity and the brilliance of the white, of the glory of God that is coming out through Yeshua. It contains all, and yet it reflects all. Now, let's go a little further with this. All of us as humans, we are all created in the image of God. That's what the scripture says. In us, no matter who you are, we reflect the glory of God at some level. Every human at some level, because everybody, no matter who they are, no matter how rotten they are, they were originally created in the image of God. They had a purpose and a destiny that God had for them. And so in them, even though there may be incredible amount of evil, they still have within them the creation of God. The image and glory of God is in there. But what happens to people? Well, if you remember the Garden of Eden story, you remember the scripture says that the people were walking with God. Adam and Eve were literally walking with God. But after they fell into sin, what happened? The scripture says that Adam and Eve hid from the Lord. What happened was that the whiteness of the glory of God exposed the darkness of sin when they entertained it. And they could no longer stand to be in God's presence in the glory because the sin was such an offense. The white was so bright, it was so glorious that when everything was pure, they could be in God's presence. But when darkness set in, it exposed the darkness and they couldn't handle it, and they had to hide from God's presence and His glory. It was too bright. Now, knowing all that, let's look at an incredible scripture that was read in the New Covenant reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This is a great verse. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. That's what it says. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I mean, what's happened here? At one point, you have to depart from the glory of God, from the presence and the light of God. It's too painful to be in that. But now, according to the writer Paul here, suddenly with unveiled faces, we see the glory of God. We reflect the Lord's glory. And what has happened is this. When a person has received Yeshua into their life and the Holy Spirit, it's like a snowfall goes over them. It comes over them. And suddenly, they can be in God's presence because they're reflecting back the image of Yeshua the Messiah. That's what happens. You see, that's why we can enter into God's presence when we receive Yeshua, even though maybe not everything is all right and fine in our lives. But what happens is the snow of Yeshua covers us so that we can be in the presence of the Lord and fully reflect the glory of God, the light of God. See, that's what happens. Now, let's talk literally about what happens to snow over time, okay, that we all experience and we all see it. And I have it here on your outline if you'd like to look. Now, what happens? First of all, the first thing that happens to snow is what I call road grime, right? We're out here, and you have this beautiful snow. Everybody loves the snow. But what happens with snow right away when it's out on the ground? You see, snow is disruptive. It's beautiful, but it's disruptive. It's disruptive to the status quo. It's like, oh, no, I can't get to work. I can't get to the store. I can't, you know, it causes trouble. And so what we try to do is we try to continue the status quo with the snow on the ground. And what happens immediately once the cars get out there and people start shoveling their walk, what happens to the snow? Road grime, right? It suddenly starts getting kind of ugly. You know, it's like the longer it goes in the street. I mean, you go out there now and the snow that was beautiful here a week ago, I mean, it's kind of gross. It's like gray and it's gray and gooky and everything, right? And what's funny about road grime is this, is that when there's no snow, you know, the dirt is just dirt. You know, it's not bad. It's just there. It's like, okay, this is the ground and that's the way it is. And so we don't notice it as being particularly, you know, ucky or gross or whatever like that. But when the dirt is mixed with the snow, the contrast just is kind of gross. It's like we'd almost wish that it had been removed completely because it's more disgusting than if it didn't even exist at all. And so there's been a dramatic change that's occurred. See, snow and road grime is abnormal. Now, how does all this apply to us spiritually? Okay, let's look at it this way. You see, road grime is the cares of this life. It's the status quo. It's everything that we are involved with in our daily life. And what happens to people over time? They come and they get touched by the Lord, right? I mean, we come to a service or you go to a special event or you have a direct impact by the Lord. And when you feel God in that way, and I think most people in here probably could relate to this, it's like a beautiful snowfall. It's like you see everything differently. It's like you've been lifted up out of the road grime of life or the dirt of life, and everything is like, it's just different. It's beautiful. It's warm. You know, there's just something about it. But what happens quickly to most of us? The status quo kicks in, right? We've got to get back to life. We've got to get back to work and family responsibilities or school or whatever. And it's what happens when we start getting back into that. It's like plowing up the snow. It's as if the snow was there, but it was nice, but it was a little bit inconvenient. And now it kind of disrupted the status quo a little bit. But now we got to get back to life. And as soon as we get back into life, it's like, you know, we start to lose the sense of the beauty of that snow. In fact, what sometimes happens is after you've experienced that kind of a snowfall or that kind of an experience with God, sometimes getting back to regular life is a problem. You know, it's like because you wanted to be at that live at that level, but now you're having to deal with regular issues in your life. It's like a little bit disruptive. It's like I can't get my bearings again and so on. Well, what's the problem here? Here's the problem. Is that what the way God really wants it is he doesn't want the status quo to be the status quo anymore. You see, but we're not, what happens to us is that we are impacted by the Lord in a special way, but then we just figure, well, we just got to get on with getting on. And so we just fall back into our old ruts and our old patterns. And suddenly we lose that closeness, that sense of the Lord, the beauty of the snow and everything else. We lose that. And so it's just like we wait maybe until the next time we have an experience with the Lord and so on like that. So what's the issue? What's the issue here? Do you know that it's possible to manage on snow without going back to the status quo? You realize that? That it's possible to travel, to cope with heavy snow without going back to the status quo. And you know where they do most of that? It's in the North Country. And what do? They ski, right? Cross-country skiing. That's the way they transport themselves. They say, but that's impractical. That's ridiculous. That would mean a whole life change. Hello? Maybe that's what's needed. You see, we just think, oh, well, I've got to continue kind of going through my daily struggles as the way I was before, and it was nice to have this experience with the Lord, but I've just got to continue to cope. And so we just go back and we start plowing up all the snow, but maybe God wants to give you skis. And so everything's going to be different. So how do you say, but what does that mean? What does that mean for you? Do you know that it's possible that relationships might have to change? That some relationships might have to be sacrificed altogether. I'm not talking about spouses now, even though some of you might hope that. But I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But some relationships, which could be poisoning you, might have to be sacrificed. In other cases, they might have to be changed. The nature of the relationships might have to change. Maybe some of the work that you're doing has to be sacrificed. Maybe it's become inconvenient. It doesn't work any longer in the snow. It worked okay before, but now that the snow's hit, it doesn't work. You got to change your occupation. Or maybe it means just approaching your vocation a little bit differently. Now with skis and so forth, rather than just plowing everything up and just going back to the old ho-hum. You see, when the snow hits, changes result. The question is, how are you going to respond to the change? Is it going to be back the way it was? Or are you going to let the change, the snow, dictate a change into your life? You see, that's the issue. Okay. And that's what it means. What we're talking about here, about examining everything that we do in the light of God. That's the real issue here. It's when the snow hits, Are we going to fall back to the status quo? Are we going to allow road grime to hit us? Or are we going to allow a change to take place in our lives that can keep the snow on the ground all the time? Because that really is the way it should be. Now, the second problem that we have is this. We have the footprint syndrome of snow. Okay? In other words, snow falls, and you look out your window, and you see all the beauty around you, like we talked about before. Everything in the snow is, it's smooth, and when it covers, like, it covers the contours of the changing topography around us, and it's, everything is just, everything just kind of moves across like this. What happens as soon as the snow stops falling, or towards the end of the snowfall? What's the first thing that happens? All the kids go charging outside, man. They whip those sleds out there, and what do? They tromp up the beautiful scenery. And so you looked out upon this smooth, palatial look, and now it's got all these footprints all over. It's kind of weird looking, right? And what is this? What are we talking about here? We're talking about that the visual wonderland that we had a moment ago has now been pockmarked, okay? Imprints all throughout it. And what can this mean when it comes to our lives personally? This is what I believe it means, or it can mean. I believe it's this, that when we've had an experience with the Lord, a lot of times other people don't understand that experience, right? They think it's weird or something like that, and so they begin to criticize you, or they demean you, or they misunderstand you, or they can persecute you for what you've been through, because it's like they haven't experienced this before, and so it's like they trample over you, like the footprints of the child that tramples over the snow. And so the problem is we have, because we live in a world with other people, there's a risk in sharing our experiences with other people because they might not receive it. And we get damaged when other people don't receive it. We're all excited. You wouldn't believe what the Lord did for me. And you explain this thing about what God did in your life, and the other person, you know, either doesn't understand it or doesn't like it and begins to criticize it. And what happens to me, you and me, when we do that? It's pain, right? It's like, and suddenly you begin to lose the enthusiasm of the way it was like. It was no longer the excitement. Now there's some pain associated with the experience that you had with the Lord before, and it's replaced by pain. And it causes us, the footprint syndrome, causes us to begin to withdraw from God and to withdraw from other people because we're afraid of getting hurt. You see, when God touches you and me, you know what happens? He makes you and me vulnerable. And being vulnerable can be very risky, because it can be, when you're vulnerable, you allowing yourself to be blessed or hurt, as the case may be, right? And so what happens is you're vulnerable to the Lord, and then you become vulnerable to other people, and then they can come along and hurt you, footprints in the snow, and it becomes personally damaging. So what are we supposed to do? Not have the snow fall? First of all, we need to realize and understand that this kind of experience comes with the territory of snowfalls, right? I mean, when the snow falls, you don't expect everybody to stop what they're doing and not do anything, ever. Of course they're going to come out of their homes. Of course there's going to be footprints on the snow. But that's what life is really like in the Lord, is that it's true, not everyone is going to receive what you experienced in God. That is the fact. That's just the way it is. Some people are going to like it, some are not. And you know what part of the reason is? Is that snow reveals contrasts. Remember what I said? The whiteness of snow reveals the contrasts of other life. And sometimes your experience in the Lord exposes differences in another person. And that's the reason they don't like it. Because they were used to you in a certain way. Now you're being this way. And now it's bringing conviction on them because it's showing there's something wrong with them and they don't like it. So instead of receiving it for themselves, they persecute you, or they begin to demean you or criticize you. That's the answer. That comes with the territory. That's just the way it is. You see? And it's okay that it's that way, because the Lord desires, when snow falls, it's to impact everybody. And if you've been impacted by the Lord, the goal is that it's going to provoke other people to jealousy. And so God wants us to be at a place where people walk over us, okay? I'm not saying walk on us like a doormat. But I'm saying that they walk over so it provokes them to jealousy, to want what they may not have. You see, a lot of people don't realize what they're missing until they see it in somebody else. Before I came to know that Yeshua as Messiah, I didn't know what I was missing. You see, I knew about Christianity. I didn't want to have anything to do with it because I didn't know anything about it. But when I met other people who knew Yeshua as Messiah and I saw the difference in their lives, then I wanted it because it was something that they had that I didn't have. And until we allow our light, our works and our light to be shown before men, right, no one's going to know. And so we've got to be willing to be walked on so that people will be provoked to that point. The scripture also says that Yeshua himself says that if they persecuted me, what's going to happen? They're going to persecute you also. You see? You see, I enjoy going to the Jewish Community Center and just being among the people there. Now, some of the people like me and some of the people don't like me. Okay, and I can tell the people that don't like me. They have that kind of lockjaw look. You know? And but that's okay. That's okay. Because I've got to be there to provoke them, you see? And so do you, quite frankly. You see, you can't expect Jewish people just to walk into the synagogue. It's not going to happen. Very rarely, anyway. But what does happen is when you build relationships and you show your light to them, and then they begin to ask questions, what's all this about? Well, why don't you come to the service on Saturday, see what it's like, you see? And see, it provokes. That's the whole goal. Some people won't like you. That's the way it is. They didn't all like Yeshua. That's the way it is, okay? That's all. Now, what's the issue here? You see, when the snow falls on you and me, which is the glory of God, what God is doing is he's changing our world. He's bringing us in a total new world that makes everything look differently. And we need to learn to find our security in that world and not in the old world. You see, the problem that we have when people get upset with us and then we take it personally and then we get hurt and then we don't feel like we can share it with another person or we're reluctant to have those experiences with the Lord anymore, it's because our security is not really found in God. It's linked up with our connections and relationships with other people, and God wants our security to be found in Him alone. And so He could be provoking you to say, hello, you've got an idol in your heart, and it may be that other person. And God's using that to expose the idol in your own heart so that you will find your security in God alone. And it gets to be a place where it doesn't really matter what people say anymore, what they think, because we are now so absorbed by the glory of God and the snow that has fallen that it just doesn't make any difference. You hear what I'm saying? Third thing, last thing, the melting syndrome of snow. Okay? Now we see it now. Last Sunday, despite losing out on watching the Super Bowl, because we lost power, still, when you looked out across the lawns and everything else, and everything was ice and everything was snow, I mean, it was like a wonderland, right? It was beautiful. I mean, it was just, you want to be able to hold on to that forever at some level. But then what happens? After a while, it starts melting, right? And what happens when the snow melts? The old comes back, right? The stuff that the snow was covering comes back, and it becomes kind of visible. And now you got a mixture, which is what we have outside right now, a mixture of there's some white snow, there's grass, there's streets, there's dirt, there's all the other things that go out there and so on. What's happened? You see, for the ground to remain white, what has to happen for it to remain white? Has to be more snow, right? Has to be another snowfall. I mean, one snowfall in a winter is not going to keep the snow on the ground. There's got to be more coming to be able to keep the ground white and beautiful all the time. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:15. It says this. Ephesians 5:15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And the actual Greek there means to be continue to be filled with the Spirit. It's a continuing outpouring that God wants to bring into your life and my life. And what do we need? We've had an experience with God. We've had a snowfall, and everything is beautiful. But you know what? It has to happen again. And it has to happen again. And it has to keep happening again and again. We need renewal. So we need more snow, more snow, more snow. There needs to be a more renewal, more renewal, more the power of God. Where do we get that? That's the why we come to Shabbat services. Hopefully, is to experience the presence of the Lord. We have times with God daily to experience the presence of the Lord. We go to special meetings to experience the presence of the Lord, to have a new snowfall on our hearts and our lives so that it keeps everything white all the time. And here's the beauty of it. This is where I'm going to try to wrap it up here. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's the beauty of the snowfall syndrome. 2 Corinthians 3, back to verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Says this, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." What's happening? God wants to transform you and me into His likeness, to become like the Lord, into ever-increasing glory. How does that happen? It means more renewal, more outpouring of the Spirit, more snowfall all the time. And you know what happens after a while? If you keep getting snowed on after a while, what happens? It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And so, you know what? If you go up into the North Country, like in the Arctic region, or you go down to Antarctica, you know what? There's no road grime because there's no roads. It's real simple because everything's covered by snow. So they travel. I mean, people travel in the Arctic, okay? In northern Norway, northern Russia, northern Canada. They travel all right, but they do it differently. They don't have road grime. It's on skis, largely, like we've already talked about. And you know what? The footprints on the deep snows don't really matter anymore. Because you know what happens? Next snowfall comes along, footprints filled up. So it's gone. And so it just keeps happening. And you know what else happens? It's that the melting that might occur is completely inconsequential because it's so deep that when it gets melted, it's still deep. And then the next snow and it fills it back up, and the next snow and fills it back up. And that's the ever-increasing glory of God. We can get to a place in the Lord where there's such renewal, such a presence of the Lord, that these things don't have to happen. The status quo can be changed. People might walk on us, but it doesn't matter anymore that much. We might have a slight melting time, and it doesn't matter because we're experiencing more snow, and it's full, and it's white all the time. That's what it's all about. You see, that's the way God wants it for you and me. Ever-increasing glory so that we're transformed by the power of God. Amen? Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for snow as an image and as imagery, not only for the beauty, Lord God, of Your creation and being able to look at the snowfall and being impressed, Lord, by what we see, Lord God, but also as a reminder, Father, to what You want to do in our lives, Lord God. Father, we want to be changed. We want to be different. We want to have the kind of life that the snow represents, a life of purity, Lord God, a life, Lord God, where everything is beautiful and wonderful, Lord. We want to experience that, Lord. But Father, we know that it comes first from You. Lord, we need You to snow upon us, Lord, to rain upon us with Your presence and with Your glory, and to be changed, Lord. And for us not to accept, Lord, the status quo, Lord God, but to expect that things are going to be different from now on, Lord. Father, for us to allow that snowfall to dictate changes in our lives, Lord. That's what we desire, Lord. Show us how to make the changes that we need to make. So, Father, we don't let road grime hit our snow, Lord. But, Father, rather we allow the snow to always be there and the glory to always be present, Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord God. Father, change us. Make us like this, like we've heard about today. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.